We Talk Podcast presents...
Good evening. Tonight, we will witness the first ever World Wrestling Federation draft. Vince McMahon will represent SmackDown. Ric Flair will represent Raw. In the interest of time, only 20 picks will actually be made live tonight. A lottery will be held immediately following Raw on WWF.com to determine placement of all other World Wrestling Federation performers. The result of tonight's historic draft becomes effective on next week's Raw. However, because of the Triple Threat WWF Championship match tonight, neither Triple H, Chris Jericho, nor Stephanie McMahon is eligible to be drafted. And due to a contractual clause, Stone Cold Steve Austin is not eligible to be drafted either. Mr. Austin is therefore declared a free agent, able to sign with either SmackDown or Raw. Thank you for your attention this evening, and best of luck to all the World Wrestling Federation superstars.
One eternity later.
July 19th truly is a milestone for WWE, since we've announced that SmackDown is going live Tuesdays on the USA Network. SmackDown needs a strong leader, and my mind has been spinning with ideas. From matches to talent to special guests, the possibilities are endless.
You know, I have to say, Shane, I admire this fire. And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, SmackDown does need a strong leader, someone who's a fierce competitor. I mean, this person needs to be a new voice with fresh ideas for the new era. And as a former general manager of SmackDown, I can confidently say that the right person will take great ideas and then make them best for business.
Perhaps you need much more of a risk taker.
Or, you know, more along the lines of a seasoned veteran.
Totally not you. Well, someone maybe with a sense of adventure.
Only because I'm 7 years younger. Uh-huh. Or an impressive resume.
That you definitely don't have. Maybe someone that everybody can trust.
A McMahon.
Well said, Stephanie.
Well, thank you, Shane. I couldn't agree with you more.
Everybody's changing and I don't know.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your hosts Joshua, Adam, William Arbuthnot, and the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
I get to talk more today, yay!
Yay, no mo! The block me and Joel talking all the time. So, Joel and I started this podcast back in around May of 2014. And one of the first subjects that we came up and that we agreed upon was, you know what, there needs to be a brand split.
Yeah.
And over the years, constantly talked about there needs to be a brand split. We need to separate this and whatnot. And we come and bring it up. And it got to a point even when Joel's like, we can't talk about this because you're just going to go on your rant again about the brand split. Well, Joel, no more need for a rant because the time is here.
Your time is up. Your time is now.
Starting on July 19th, SmackDown will go live on Tuesdays in both Canada and the States. I don't know about anywhere else. I'm assuming everywhere else for sure, too. But Canada and the States for sure. And also, separate rosters, separate writing teams, separate storylines. We will be getting a draft, a brand split. Once more, the WWE is shaking it up.
I think they needed to do this. This is probably the best move considering how many bodies they have now. Like the fact that they announced it at 6 a.m. Mountain Time. But it's
Tuesdays are going to be cloudy for them. They're going to be going head to head with the Flash.
I think Flash wins out. Because I can just fast forward through commercials. But good on them. Make SmackDown relevant again. I think.
Make SmackDown great again.
Oh, God. That's the title of this podcast now.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing with this is, we'll jump right into this, is it gives a lot of guys, like you and me had a conversation yesterday about, you know, if they had done a brand split, and maybe if it happens, all while not realizing that the next morning this was going to break. But we were
talking... Yeah, that was the funny thing. You and I were talking about how much we love The Miz, and it's too bad he can't get near the world title because he's just not in line. And we talked about other guys we'd love to see with the world title, but maybe they're not in line. And now with this brand split, I can confirm to something that I haven't told you, Joel. One of the things that was going to be a big point is, should there be two titles or not? Meltzer has confirmed there will be two titles.
I heard that before the podcast.
Okay, so we both got that. So that's a moot point now. The question is, there's so much I want to start on, but this was such a containment part. Everyone I talked to, was the first thing they came to was the titles.
Oh, yeah.
So obvious, what title do you put where, and how do you defend that gold belt?
So here's what I would do. First thing first. Tag team title will travel to both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
I think you have a deep enough roster, too. I would say if they did, too, I actually wouldn't be mad anymore. Because the more I look at the Raw, and it depends, too. You and I were talking about this as well. It depends. Are they going to draft everyone separately or tag teams together? Or is it going to be a Dudley situation?
I think they need to draft tag team together. It'd be stupid to split all these tag teams up or magically have it the ability to...
Yeah, I just think as an entity, you get drafted together. Like, just let the New Day go where they are, and then you can split them up, like, next year or something.
Yeah. I think you leave tag teams together, and it creates more opportunity. And, I mean, having the New Day as your champion is good. They can work both shows. They're a team that, and it's good because they're a three-man unit, so one guy always gets a break. They're not as physically worn down as some of the other guys because not all of them have to take bumps. If Kofi's a little sore, well, throw Xavier in. If Big E's sore, then it's Kofi. And
the New Day are going to be a top pick. That's going to be someone's, whether it's Raw or SmackDown, it's one of their top acts.
Oh, yeah. It's a massive draw, and I think having the New Day is just – and I think you need to do it with all the tag teams. I can see Vince wanting to split up Enzo and Cass using this to split them up.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
But I think it's smart. Keep tag teams together for now. See how it works. See how it goes and see how it grows and progresses, because all you can do is go, okay, this isn't working. We'll do this next year, because they are going to do the draft next year, which is really exciting because – then we can have a whole podcast predicting who's going where.
I love the draft. I think it's a great ratings. We have a predicted date now, July 11th, which would be a week beforehand.
Okay.
I kind of like the idea of the draft the night before, because then you have those guys on SmackDown for the first time ever. Everything on SmackDown is fresh, right? Like, whoever they have, let's say they have Seth Rollins and Cena and the New Day, for example, and Natty. You're like, well, these are the people that are there.
Yeah. The one thing I would do is I would actually have the draft the Sunday before the Monday Night Raw. You have it as a network special, or the Saturday, one of the two, where all it is it's a in-studio thing where you have the wrestlers sitting around and you have them, or you could do it in on a house show, one of these locations.
I like that idea because it's kind of like, you know, like an NFL NBA draft, but I think they won't do it because they want that's such a big rating, the draft, right? It's a big, like you and I, one of the things we had said earlier when we talked about draft, you look at the ratings the NFL drafted this year, or even like the NBA draft lottery, right? Like drafts, period, in professional sports do big ratings.
Oh, yeah. And this will be huge because there's that element of, geez, you can have fun with this. You can have...
Also, really the first, like, at its pinnacle, the first draft with full social media.
Yeah, which would be crazy. Now, Josh, I just want to go through something quickly of what 2016. So we joined We Talk Wrestling January 1st. And in that time, we've had AJ Styles join WWE.
Yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura join WWE. Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows. Yeah. Cena get hurt. Shane McMahon returned to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And now a draft.
You also forgot UFC possibly getting sold.
UFC possibly
Conor McGregor faking a retirement. We had one of the best matches in the history with Nakamura and Sami Zayn. We had TNA up for sale, possibly to Racist. We had Conor McGregor lose. We had Nate Diaz kick his ass. We had Misha Tate become UFC champion. We had we've had a lot of crazy, crazy, crazy things. We had Sasha being hurt, Sammy getting called to the roster. It's been crazy.
Yeah, you've got a heel fraction with the titles in New Japan and just kind of really not caring about the title at all.
Yeah,
you've got a really good Best of the Super Juniors tournament, which we won't even get to today. But
I mean, we kind of started falling in love with Will Ospreay and Sabre, and we still have that Global Cruiserweight coming up, which,
yeah,
you know, I didn't even think about that until now, mentioning that now. That is going to be huge in this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think, you know, we're going to be jumping all over the place in this, folks, but NXT is going to take a big hit, but it's going to be okay. The thing is, like, it's a traveling brand, but I would expect out of this draft, if not out of this draft, within the next 3 months, they're going to lose the big four, what me and Joe call them, of Nakamura, Joe, Finn, and Bayley. They're gone.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think also Blake and Murphy are gone. American Alpha is gone. And probably an Alexa Bliss. Is it time just to get Carmella up?
I've heard that they still are talking about possibly pairing them up. So
who?
Carmella and Enzo.
Oh, yeah. Cass. So Carmella probably comes with Enzo and Cass. And then who else can you see going up from there? Oh, and the Revival.
Yeah. I see, that tag team division just got gutted.
Yep. Well, you have Ciampa, and you have that new Australian tag team that debuted tonight in NXT.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I think, you know, you're going to have, you have Nobuhiro Jose, who you and I aren't a big fan. I like him. I just don't like the name. But, you know, he seems to get the people behind him.
Yeah.
And we have that new luchador that debuted tonight in vignettes. I can't pronounce his name.
Oh, God, I can't either. But he's going to be, like, that vignette, just everything about it just screamed mysterious.
Tease the mask coming off. I loved it.
I think he doesn't come out with a mask, but I think it kind of, you see that and you kind of go, what is this all about? They've been talking about wanting to have that star from Mexico.
And the Rey.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Kalisto. Although, this is great for Kalisto, you know? Like, you know, I have been talking about how much we love Kalisto, and now this, the best thing about this roster switches is, like, the one thing we've been saying for a while is, like, it gives guys that wouldn't get a chance. Like, you look at those old brands up, like, you look at a guy like Paul London, and some of the chances he got being on SmackDown, he wouldn't have gotten any of those chances if the roster was what it was right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, guys get Cesaro!
And, you know, we're going to jump into, I think this is where we haven't talked about this on the pod yet, because, of course, it happened right after we put it out. Cody Rhodes has got to be kicking himself.
Oh, yeah, because you got to think, if the biggest thing with Cody Rhodes was no one was listening to him, he wanted to have a chance to be just Cody Rhodes, not Stardust. Well, I think he probably had that chance.
Yeah.
And now it's out the window, and they're not happy with. I think Cody comes back, but
pretty pissed off because it wasn't. It was about the stuff he said about the writers, especially writers. That one writer hitting on female divas, obviously the female guy.
Yeah.
But that writer hitting on divas really hit a sore note with them.
Oh.
And I mean, it's in 72 hours, Cody's life got flipped upside down because now he's got to be like, fuck.
Yeah.
And, what did I do?
It sounds like his wife's happy to be, because she had a lot of other opportunities. So I think all in all, it'll work itself out, but I definitely agree with you. Cody's kind of kicking himself.
Well, Japan is apparently closed for him because they're pretty full right now. I mean, they just added Will Ospreay, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, especially if you can take a guy, like they wanted to gut the WWE roster. They've been kind of a back and forth between the two, so.
Well, that's the other thing with this now, too, is Vince is said to be very excited about this. And the idea, too, is that this is going to make them purge a lot of these ROHs in Japan's even more now.
Oh, they're going to throw money. They're going to throw money at everything.
So, you know, we talked about, you know, those big four of Bayley, Joe, Nak, and Finn going. Yeah, they're going. But then you're going to see Bobby Roode, Eric Young, Adam Cole, Jay Lethal, The Bucks. And, you know, you and I, you know, Red Dragon's also free at that time. And you and I are like, there's no way. I think now they're just going to throw a shit ton of money at Red Dragon.
Oh, they'll throw money at everyone, because now you can build up NXT again, and then all those guys you suddenly have under one roof, you know, it's money. And you got to spend money to make money. And I mean, the Young Bucks would be a team that would make you a lot of money.
Well, and the thing too with the company now, it's not just about having these separate shows. And the one thing I do like is, you know, for you and I, when the house shows come to Calgary, it's like, oh, what roster are we going to get? Now we know. It's like, are we getting SmackDown or Raw? And you know the people that are on that team. So, yeah. And I think that helps a lot with touring. The other thing is with NXT and with Ron, I think this is going to be great for their house show business again. Because now you know, right? You know, I got the SmackDown base. That means that Cena's coming. Or I have Ron. That means Roman's coming. And now even with NXT, that makes them want to jump up that much more, because they're going to be the B show for the traveling.
Yep, they really are. And maybe, just maybe, shouts out to Mo, maybe eventually SmackDown becomes what he's always predicted it to eventually become.
Which I still fully disagree with.
Yeah, but we'll have to have Mo there to defend. I did want to bring up Mo again, Mo getting mentioned here. He had sent a message before we started recording, because he couldn't be here today, which is a shame. I enjoy the three-man dynamic, or two-man and me sitting in the corner going, hi, guys. One of the things that he said is, and I want to pull this up, so I quote Mo right, so I do Mo justice. He was quoted as saying that he thinks it will be an unmigrated disaster.
I fully disagree.
I do as well. And I think this is definitely, you can hear more of Mo's thoughts on the We Talk Wrestling that will be out on Sunday. I'm very interested to find out why he thinks it's...
Yeah, there's too much talent to go around.
I think that's the biggest thing right now, is it is WWE, and their track record is not spectacular, but it's not horrible.
No.
But I think the talent you have right now, I think you have a lot of potential. Now, of course, WWE could screw it up. It's very easy. But with
I think, too, the booking's a lot more focused, and you have the people like Hunter that's in charge of creative. I found out today Hunter's one of the main people in charge of creative.
Oh, yeah.
But I think like Hunter is there now, and he's a more base ground. Like, in a way, like maybe it's kind of what Vince had to do in the Attitude Era, where he had his Vince Russo with Hunter, right?
Yeah.
Where Hunter's a lot more grounded, and he can tell, like, Vince, like, no, yes. I wonder what side will be the Stephanie Hunter show, and which one will be the Shane show. Which would you say would be which?
Stephanie and Hunter will get Raw.
You think so? Just because they have that main McMahon basis there?
Yeah, I think. And Stephanie, I feel like Stephanie's being groomed for that position with the book, with starting to do more stuff. I think she's starting to be positioned as the future person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Shane gets SmackDown, and good God almighty, if Shane's a smart man, he's dialing Paul Heyman's number and having him.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm going to bring up.
Be a consultant.
So, okay. Again, we're going to go all over the place in this. I'm probably going to say that at least two more times. So Brock Lesnar's on the July 11th show, which is why a lot of people rumored to think that that's the draft. If you have the first pick, what is the first pick? It's one of three guys, right? It's Brock, Roman, or Cena.
What I would do with Brock Lesnar, and this is just my thought, is I have Paul Heyman come out and basically say Brock is above being drafted. Brock will show up where he wants, when he wants, to do what he wants. I think that's the best use, but I would put Brock as number one for your draft.
Brock would go to probably Raw, though, I would think, right? Yeah. I love your idea, Joel. But if we're gonna put him in the sorting hat, and he's gonna go somewhere, I think he's Raw just because of what you give him and pay him.
Oh yeah,
I think he's a Raw, which makes the second pick Cena.
It's gonna be Roman.
So you think? Because you think they keep Cena? I wonder if they want to put Roman on Raw though.
See, and that's the other thing, is this is going to impact a lot of the drafting, and this is going to be the one thing where in sports where we're talking about why did that person make this draft. Well, we kind of have a reason why these.
I actually really want to watch this with you. You and I don't watch Raw ever together.
Yeah.
And this is like the first time I'm like, I want to get some. I was talking to our friend Chad, and he was like, this is the first time I've wanted to watch a Raw with people in a long time. Like, just sit down and watch Raw with a whole bunch of people.
Is that that's not during Stampede, is it?
Yep, that's actually during Stampede here in Calgary, I believe.
Yeah, we're not going to be watching it together.
Probably not. Maybe we can watch it on a Tuesday or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Figure it out when that happens. But, yeah, it's my point is, like, you want to watch this with friends, right?
Because
you
like,
and we're going to have a mock draft on here once everything's kind of sorted out. I think it also depends to me who the GMs are.
Yeah, that's going to be another big deal.
And I need to know what Brock is, because Brock, or I assume Brock is the first pick.
Yeah, Brock, I do, there's a little voice in my head saying that I think, depending on, because they could have a draft lottery, Josh, where they decide who gets the first pick on the WWE Network.
That I love that. I love that. Like, you know, I've been always talking about, like, you need to use the network for better things.
Yeah.
And, like, just to be kind of like, you have the envelope, and you have the ping pong balls and all that stuff, and let's say you find someone like Kathy Kelly or Renee to pick in like the first pick of the WWE draft. I think you do this like 2 or 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
And you kind of have people vying out. Maybe I would assume maybe at Money in the Bank, they'll have a stipulation of something that is where we find out who gets what show.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're kind of both vying for SmackDown.
Yeah. It's very interesting because they're really elevating SmackDown. But the other thing, and this is like you've said, we're going to be jumping all over the place.
Yeah, this, take a shot. That's the magic word.
This shows how much faith USA Network has in WWE.
Well, the SmackDown right now, Joel, does a 2.4 million in the States. I don't know what it does here in Canada. I think it does fairly well. We have we've been getting it on a Wednesday. It's going to be weird not having SmackDown spoilers anymore. My point is, so they have 2 years left in their contract with the USA Network, and it's pretty big of them to move it to a Tuesday. Also, guess what's going head-to-head against it on a Tuesday now?
Flash?
Nope, TNA.
Oh.
So they're going to have to move again. What day is, and I was trying to think, like, what day has TNA not had?
They'll do a Saturday show.
Yeah. Well, they've done replays on Saturday.
There we go. Just have the whole show on Saturday.
Yeah. Like, I almost, if I were them, I'd move it to Friday, personally.
Yeah.
Friday works really good for them. There's nothing else on they're going to go against. I always liked when SmackDown was on Fridays, personally.
It was nice. I think this is the first time in years that you can say they're taking SmackDown a little more seriously.
Well, they have to, because it's on the USA Network, right? And you know, it's funny, you and I had talked about this, like, how big is WWE to USA? Well, it's, here we go. It's next to Mr. Robot, like, the biggest shows in USA are Mr. Robot and the WWE. Those are the two biggest programs.
That's crazy.
And, like, it did 2.4, having pretty much, like, people knew some of the results on it, and people still watched it, and it wasn't live. And, like, you know, you and I think, are pretty, you know, we have this podcast, and we're, you know, decent wrestling fans and viewers and whatnot, but SmackDown's a once-in-a-while occurrence, and even for me now, it's like, oh, I'll just check the highlights out on YouTube.
Yeah.
But now, it's going to be back to a weekly show, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's becoming that, wow, I need to watch this, I need to at least PVR it, I need to know what's happening, what's going on, because it's going to have two different storylines, so you're not going to have, and the nice thing is, The one of the biggest complaints a lot of people have had lately about SmackDown and Raw was they're just rehashing matches. Well, mm-hmm. That kind of goes the way of the dinosaur now.
Mm-hmm.
And it also forces people to not have to be writing for two shows a week to try to be creative.
And what I've heard, because they have those home and away writing teams.
Yeah.
I've heard they'll kind of have like those, but like for SmackDown. So you have the home SmackDown and the away SmackDown and home Raw and away Raw.
Ah.
Yeah, not bad.
No, not bad at all.
So here's something that John Pollock had suggested. Not breaking up the women. Just the women are wherever. The women are just on both shows.
Yeah, I don't think that would hurt. Because, I mean, you're kind of thinning out the roster a little bit, and now you kind of forced to have Sasha on a certain roster with Charlotte if you want that certain things to happen. It kind of forces you got to have certain things in certain locations for things.
I mean, the women's division is deep enough now that you could do two separate titles. You could. It's very possible.
Yeah.
I don't want the Diva title back, though. I don't want the Butterfly title to come back by any means. Another suggestion I've heard for the women, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is maybe installing you have a women's heavyweight championship, and then you have a women's tag team championship.
It would be interesting. You know what I would do? I would have a women's championship, and I would almost have like a, I don't know the name of it.
Like an intercontinental one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. 1A and then 1 and then B. And then that way you can always have them feuding for an actual title.
Yeah. One of the arguments as far as titles go that Chad made to me that he's like, the reason he didn't like the reason he liked the One World Champion is because it makes that world, it's a moot point now, but is that it makes that champion the boss, right? Like Roman Reigns is the guy. And anybody from each show wants to compete with him. And that you make the Intercontinental and the U.S. title mean that much more. So, like, if the Intercontinental is on SmackDown, for example, like, it's the title everybody wants, and you bring back the establishment of that. And same with the U.S. title now. Like, the U.S. title means so much more.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of diluting it where it's like, well, we have two champions. And I never really had a huge problem. I agree with what you said. There's both arguments in this I don't think you're wrong on, where I think now, like, a guy, if you go to SmackDown now, like, maybe Dean Ambrose goes there and he finally gets his title. And maybe The Miz can get another title reign and really do a great job with healing it up. And, you know, I think it gives guys that want to get a chance to be world champion, like Mark Henry, for example, a great chance of it. I mean, we do look back at some of those guys and be like, well, he didn't have the title, you know? Because, like, when you think of Mark Henry, do you think of him as a WWE champion? Or is it like, oh, he had the world title?
Yeah, it was always – I can see both sides of the argument, totally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of thinking you can have it where you can be like, well, he is kind of a world champion, so...
And also, I don't want to be an asshole, but I don't think Eddie Guerrero happens if it wasn't for the brand split.
No, I don't think Guerrero happens. I don't think Benoit happens.
JBL, it doesn't happen.
No, Cena doesn't happen.
Probably not, because you just... And that's I look at the roster now, like, how many guys do we have, like Sandow, for example, and that's another guy. It's like, oh, if they just could have held on to Sandow just for a little longer.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are like, if you just held on a little bit.
But, I mean, I think in the long term, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And so I want to kind of do maybe a little top five mock here, and we'll get around more. So
before you do that, I do have a quick question for you.
Yeah, please.
What do you think of the rumors that they're going to have a network special for Raw and SmackDown each month?
Yeah, good pivot there, Joel. Good pivot. So here's what this is what they did before when they had Raw and SmackDown, right? So you kept the big four.
Yep.
And we have to talk about that because now there's kind of a big six in a way. Because Night of Champions and Money in the Bank, what do you do with those two?
Yeah.
So I want to get back to those in a bit. But obviously, so let's forget about the other Survivor Series, Money in the Bank, United Champions for a second. Let's focus on the big three, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and Mania. Obviously, you're going to blend into those. We both agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
When they had the brand split originally, they'd have 1 month would be SmackDown, 1 month would be Raw. Are you cool with that, or do you do double in the month?
I do one. I do one, and I have it alternate.
I think it builds up, too. Like, if you go, like, 2 months without a Raw pay-per-view, it builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up. Like, if we had that for Roman and AJ, it would have been like, oh, shit, I just want this match so bad right now.
Yeah. But it does create that world where now you've got to try to...
You have the network, too. It's different. Before, you had the pay-per-view service, and, you know, it's a lot harder to get people to put down when you have all those... Like, if it was a pay-per-view service and you're asking for two shows a month, yeah, it'd be harder. But, I mean, the UFC does this, right? So
that's
WWE
true.
Can do it just as easily. Like, the UFC's been doing this for how long?
Yeah, it would be – it's definitely – with the network, it has changed what a brand split could be done – how it could be done.
Mm-hmm.
Uh I'm very interested. Like,
it could what work. Do you think? Do you think there's? Do you want to? Do you want there to be two pay-per-views?
No. I don't know. Because the one thing I'm thinking about is, God, this is going to be a lot of stuff we have to ingest and watch, and how much wrestling is too much pro wrestling.
We're going to find out. I mean, the network is the best part about this, right? Because this is nothing but good for the network, and I see that as the reason why Vince is so happy right now. Like, Vince is, when this got announced today, Vince is apparently backstage and people said they haven't seen him this happy in a long time.
Really?
Well, yeah, he's just energetic about everything about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the resources are different now than what they had before, too, yeah. You know? Like, when they did this before, developmental wasn't what it was. Like, NXT wasn't around, and I think NXT really helps now, like, when you build young stars. Like, before, you called up a Dolph Ziggler or Sheamus, for example, and you sent them down to ECW, it's like, oh, okay, well, whatever. But now, like, you have a build-up for a Finn and a Samoa Joe, not just from NXT, but from their previous bases. Yeah. But NXT helps you bring in, like, people that don't know Nakamura are learning who Nakamura is now. So when Nakamura comes, we're already going to be excited about him because we know from Japan. But people are going to be like, oh, I've heard about this Nakamura guy. I'm so excited about him.
Yep. And not only that, but now you have guys that can be filtered into SmackDown, learn, grow, get ready, and then they get swapped over to the Big Show.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask you too. So the difference between this, I think, now is, because SmackDown was always like on Sci-Fi or the CW, and it was always kind of like the little brother. These are both now on the USA Network. But do you still think the Raw is still Raw? It's still the flagship?
It's always going to be the flagship to me. Mm-hmm. It always is going to be number one. But the biggest thing is now, if I'm not happy with Monday Night Raw, I got an alternative now.
Yeah, and we... You know, this is the plan when WCW crashed and everything, but now they really do have competition within each other. And the SmackDown 6 was really great, and I enjoyed those shows for when I could get them, because we didn't really get them in Canada at the time, because SmackDown was so weird.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to know that I have a wrestling show, another wrestling show that we decided for now on Tuesdays.
Yeah. And God, if there's anything we learned from the Shane McMahon podcast, is Vince is... The fact that there's going to be a bloodbath of competition, because I think Vince is doing this for one reason, and it's who takes over for me.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. You get the siblings that really go at each other now. They're going to be working. Like, I'd love to see, like, because obviously the writers are going to make some of these picks, but I really think that Stephanie and Shane are going to. And I mean, we don't even know if it's going to be them for sure. By the way. I've heard there's a possibility of having two separate GMs, and Steph and Shane just overlook things.
Okay.
You don't want to know one of the names that's being hovered around for the GM?
I do. Who?
Well, his first name is Eric.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, that name popped into my head when I started
seeing... And I actually... wouldn't mind Bischoff, because he was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I would honestly, it worked before, I'd do Bischoff and Heyman.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't, like, give Heyman the creative control or anything like that. Put him on the writing team, because it's too stressful for him. But if you put him as a GM as one of these...
No, yeah.
And Brock can do his own promos. Brock is, I mean, Heyman's great to have with it, but Brock... has a year left in his contract, and I don't think he's going to resign after that.
You think he's done?
What do you think? Do you think he comes back again, or...?
I think he kind of keeps coming back here and there. Okay. Less dates?
I think we can both agree Brock can cut his own promos. As great as Heyman is, and as much as I enjoy Heyman, Brock can cut his own promos. We've seen him do it in the UFC.
Yeah, and I mean, Brock's kind of more visually appealing, to be honest, so...
But what do you think about that idea? I prefer Shane Stephanie, personally. Yep.
That's where I'm more leaning towards. And if it's really Shane versus Stephanie, and it's Stephanie and Hunter versus Shane O'Mac, and it's everything is about you bringing your people. You're going to be driving. You're going to be figuring out your writers. And it's I can really see this as Vince's playing ground to see. All right. Who steps up and who fails?
And that's where I wonder, too, is I'd like to be a fly in the wall. Like, the writing team is obviously going to pick stuff, but I would see, like, whenever they get whatever brand they're going to have, let's say we're going to go by the assumption it's Stephanie and Shane. If it's not, it's not. But let's just go by the assumption for the rest of the show, okay?
Yeah.
So I would imagine that they'll be, like, fighting for certain guys that to have. Like, you would imagine, like, for a Finn or a KO, like, those are Hunter's guys. He's going to want to have them near him.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Shane's going to fight just as hard to have them. And the one point you brought up the most, there's going to be certain guys that are kept apart. Like, Sammy and KO are going to separate brands.
Yeah.
For sure. And you're going to build that back up maybe near WrestleMania. And that's the thing, too. It's one of my favorite things about the brand split, Joel, was the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was fresh matchups. It's like, oh, my God, Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels, these two have never faced off before. What the hell?
Yeah. Or when you would have, like, a Batista win, and you're sitting there, and you're like, okay, who's he going to choose? Which side is he going to go? Raw, yeah, or SmackDown? Where's he going to go? And then it kind of leaves, well, what's Brian going to do for their main event? Where's everything go? Mm-hmm. It creates opportunity.
Even I think that 07 Rumble, Taker and Michaels were on different brands. Yep. And they hadn't seen each other for how long. But then you get to see Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker stare each other down. And they're like, these guys don't get to face each other very much. We know this is special.
The Undertaker, I think, speaking of Undertaker, I think he's just The Undertaker. He can do whatever hell he wants.
Yeah, I would assume he's just on Raw now.
Yeah.
Even though, like, SmackDown was his yard. And here's the other thing, too, is for WrestleManias, I would be cool if they were on both shows.
Yeah.
I would want to be pretty strict, because remember at the end, they kind of got a little bit on strict about it.
Yeah, and then that's what caused the floodgates to open up.
Yeah. I would like WrestleMania time. It's like the build-up stuff. They can go on separate shows and stuff like that. But it's really hard when you were watching SmackDown, because it's like, well, you know, I already know Ambrose and Jericho are having their match, for example, this week. And Jericho apparently cut a really good promo. But did you and I really watch SmackDown? We're like, nah.
No.
They've already built up to it. I saw everything. Like, you never feel any consequences right now not watching SmackDown. I never do. Even the Darren Young stuff, which is really a SmackDown exclusive, which I think he will be. With how exclusive those promos have been to SmackDown, I can tell you that's probably a guy that will be on SmackDown.
Oh yeah, I agree with you 100%. You look at what things have kind of the opportunity. Like, Darren Young now stands out on a SmackDown.
Well, you and I were saying, like, I've kind of we were like, we like these Darren Young again things, but how much are these going to matter when he gets the roster? He's just going to fizzle out. I even look at the colognes. Like, all of a sudden, the colognes, the shining stars, it makes them hope they're going to be in a decent position now, right? They're not just going to be like another tag team in a million. Same with the Awesome Truth. Same with, like, Tyler Breeze has a whole new lease on life now, Joel.
Yep. There's so many guys that have a lease on life, but it also benefits a guy like Roman Reigns.
Yep. And I mean, also, just another guy is now maybe Zack Ryder can finally be one of those upper guys that really gets his chances.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there's going to be – you're going to have to elevate guys more and more. And it forces people – and you know what else the nice thing is? You can take main event and superstars – and you can have one of them be for Raw, one of them be for SmackDown, and that's your B show for these guys, that you can have some of these younger guys work.
You stole my idea from 3 pods ago, Joel. Remember I called that?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, remember that?
No.
Yeah, but good minds think alike. It's all good.
See, and it's one thing where now you have a chance. Like, this may hurt Apollo Crews, but this could help Apollo Crews.
I think it helps him, and I think it helps Corbin.
Yep.
Like, I just – it's – a guy like Cesaro, I hope he does go to SmackDown, for example, because I think – well, it depends. Where does Roman go? And that's what you're about to say. Like, this helps a guy like Roman. And maybe it does. He's Raw, so Cena SmackDown.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's where I would place them.
Well, didn't you not say that there was a graphic that was released a while ago?
that happened. Yeah, that's right. I'm not gonna.
And who was on that from your best remembrance?
KO was SmackDown.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who else.
I have a top on that. What you're thinking that too is, so now that we know there's a brand split, do we have two Money in the Banks?
For now, we're only going to have the one.
But I'm saying, do you think now that we have this brand split, because they're going to recognize us on Raw, do you think we're going to have two Money in the Banks now? Because we're going to have two champions, and this is how we're going to... And do they crown the new champion on Money in the Bank?
No, it'll be... That's what's going to be the big intrigue on the SmackDown show is I could see them having You remember when, I think it was Batista got hurt, and there was all those rumors of Matt Hardy winning the World Heavyweight title?
Yeah.
And I think, who won it? I think it was Orton or someone.
Kali.
Pardon?
No, Kali won when Edge got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Kurt.
Kurt won it.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what you do for SmackDown. That would be a huge draw.
Mm-hmm.
And with Roman being kind of more of a heely champion, I guess you'd call him. He's the guy. Which we don't have to hear on Mondays and Tuesdays anymore. It's just one day.
One day a week. I would think that, and now I think the intrigue now of the Shield, I can't imagine all of them are going to be on the same roster.
No, and that just makes it that much more cool when it finally happens.
I would assume that maybe somewhere at SummerSlam we get the I don't want to see the one where we had what was the one they had where they had Raw versus SmackDown?
Oh, bragging rights?
Yeah, I don't want to see that come back because that was just so irrelevant because 1 year Big Show was on Raw, 1 year Big Show was on SmackDown. It's just irrelevant.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Do they rename the game back to Raw versus SmackDown?
No, I'd leave it alone.
Yeah, I think that you have the WWE 2K. It makes it legit, it's an NBA. It's an actual sport game.
I just would like to say, because I just saw the tweet, how much is Daniel Bryan just sitting there rolling?
Oh, God. There's a lot of guys right now, man. There's a lot of guys.
I can see, I think Bryan's probably one of the ones Barrett? That I could be, because... The brand split really would help define him.
Who, Barrett?
Bryan?
Bryan. Yeah.
Because that's the reason he got the World Heavyweight title, and then they saw that he can run with the big boys, and the rest is history.
I also think this would help Wade Barrett out.
Oh, yeah.
And, you talk about guys like Del Rio and Rusev and Sheamus, who are kind of a little bit lost in the shuffle. I think it's going to help them out huge, because now Del Rio... From being a big fish but getting stuck in the medium pond, and now Del Rio gets to be a big fish again.
Yeah,
he'll probably be a SmackDown champion. I would assume that's where some of these people probably are going to ask to go. Like Sasha already asked it. I want to be a SmackDown star.
Yeah, I can see certain people wanting to be in certain spots. It's going to be very interesting because Vince. It's going to be because I think there's a mixture of Vince working on. Trying to figure out where certain guys will. I think the biggest thing they've got to look for is where are people going to be successful? What is going to help make.
Well, the biggest thing is, too, they got to figure out, what do we want on Raw? Do we want Roman or do we want Cena? That's the big start, right?
Yeah, because that's your building block. As much as we're all going to sit there, Roman and Cena are the two pillars for either show. Whether that's going to be. It'll be interesting to see how that is in a year, because this also creates where I can see this. It's going to be competitive if someone's not working out and someone's not being helping boost. Because I can see in what they would do is, and this was one of the little thoughts that I had when we were talking about who Vince gives control. I can see in 6 months them having a little graph on WWE. Who's doing better in the numbers according to the WWE world?
Yeah.
So I could see them taking off Twitter impressions because they don't want the Nelson numbers because they're not the greatest.
Do they already have separate Raw and SmackDown accounts? If they don't, they will.
Oh, yeah. They will now for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be – the more I think about this, the more I think Dear God, this is Vince's final evil creation.
Mm-hmm.
The bloodbath of the McMahons. Who takes over for Vince?
And I think we both agree still. I think with Cena and Roman on separate things, I think it still comes down to the two versus each other at WrestleMania for the two titles, eventually. Or maybe not. I don't know now. Maybe Cena wins the Royal Rumble, for example, and decides he needs to beat Roman. Yeah. And he goes to Raw that way.
I don't know. Part of me thinks maybe, but the other part of me thinks that... my biggest thing with that is I would not merge the titles together. I'd keep them separate because then you can kind of build it back up a bit.
So who did we get as Undisputed Champions then? Who are all the Undisputed Champions all time? Can you name them?
Brock, Rock, Taker. Taker was the first.
Hogan.
Hogan.
Hunter. Seth. Yeah. Cena. Roman. Sheamus.
Yeah.
Brian,
yeah.
Yeah. Jericho.
Jericho, yeah. First Undisputed Champion.
Yeah. Austin never got one.
Insane.
Mm-hmm.
So
how long did the Undisputed title last for then?
Well, the fuse came together in, what, 2002 was when it came into fruition?
Oh, Randy. Randy as well.
Yeah. I think it's 2002 was the first time it popped. And
no, but when did we switch it back with that Randy Orton Cena match that nobody wanted and they wanted Brian versus Punk?
12, I think.
Right. 12 or 13.
Yeah.
No, it was 13 12, because Punk... Because 13 13 because Punk left that Royal Rumble in 14.
That's right, yes. Yeah. I kept thinking Punk had another year, but yeah, no, you're right.
I wonder now, like, let's... Because, you know, we can't do a pod without mentioning them. Let's say Shane to SmackDown, and it's all Shane's. I don't know what Punk's relationship ever was with Shane, but maybe that's something... But again, I think if you brought Punk back, he's Raw. Yeah. He's just too big not to be back. Come back on Raw.
You want to talk about elevating SmackDown? That sure would send it through the roof.
Oh, yeah, but it won't happen.
Yeah.
So... I want to kind of go through some of these top picks really quick here. So let's just take Brock out of the equation right now because I think I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if not, he's probably going to be Raw. So then SmackDown, we're going to say Cena goes there.
Yeah.
And then Raw gets Roman.
Yeah.
So then who would be the fourth pick? Is it Seth?
Yeah, Seth.
So Seth goes to SmackDown. And then the next two... Are what? Are AJ. They KO and AJ?
Yeah.
Now, my big question for you is, so we talked about New Day not going anywhere in this. What do you do with the Wyatts?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Because if you split them up, that's death for at least two members.
Yeah. And, like, does Luke Harper get drafted out of all this as well? Like, is it just, can you just draft the Wyatt family?
I think you can just draft the Wyatt family. I think it's an act that you kind of just keep together.
Because we've seen them separated, and, I mean, Braun Strowman, they had big plans for, but I mean, that's the thing now, Joel. Like, Braun, maybe this is where Braun gets his stuff now.
Potentially.
Yeah. We've seen. I like Rowan, but I don't think he proved he can't be by himself.
Yeah.
Harper for sure could. Harper proved he could. Like, he had that... great match at TLC a few years ago against Dolph.
Yeah.
I thought Harper's singles run was pretty decent, actually.
Yeah. I wouldn't
disagree. And I think he would have benefited. He's going to benefit when he gets back from his ACL greatly from a brand split like this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's going to be really good for a guy like Luke Harper, who both you and I are super high on.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I think this is going to be – we're going to be sitting there and we're going to be like, geez, this is helping these guys out.
And even like, so KO and AJ and Cesaro even, you know, they're already at a nice little stage right now, but I think some of us were like, oh, but Cena's coming back and Randy's coming back and Seth's coming back. I wonder where these guys are going to go. And now you don't have to worry at all. They're going to be one of the top four or five guys on the show where they're at.
Oh, yeah. And now you, and that also creates these spots because not all these guys are going to stay at the top. There's no guarantee that Roman's going to stay at the top. There's no guarantee with what's going on with Cena. There's no guarantees with Randy. So there's a lot of opportunity.
I think this also helps a guy like Dolph out because he gets to go to a place. Like, he's really in a weird place right now, but he gets to go somewhere. And all of a sudden, he's kind of one of the few guys that you would look at as a world heavyweight champion. He's got some rehabbing to do, but, you know, if he goes to SmackDown, and he could be one of the top guys there. He could be a top five guy there.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the things I'm the most excited about, Joel, is when we get the actual rosters and we can break them down.
Yeah. I think this also creates, on the network, you can have the supplemental draft.
Yep.
For the little guys.
How do we think NXT will fare into this? So I can't see Finn debuting until after now.
Yeah.
So will they draft from NXT or like I pitch the idea that you kind of have like a rookie draft every year and you just have the rights. So like in an NBA or NFL, you kind of get like a lottery pick and you can be like, we choose to have the rights to Finn Balor. We choose to have the rights to Samoa Joe. And then you just know, like, okay, well, Finn is on SmackDown, and Joe is on Raw. And we know when they come, they're going to be there. And American Alpha goes here. And Bayley goes here. Or do you think they just go in this overall draft?
I think they just go overall draft, and they just kind of figure. I think that they'd be crazy not to use the network for a lot of this stuff, the side stuff, really. It's going to be very interesting how NXT factors into it. Because for all we know, Shane O'Mac could go and say, I've got a surprise first overall pick and announce Shinsuke Nakamura as his first overall
pick. Oh, Jesus.
And then we just both collectively lose our mind.
Yeah.
But I think with this, with the draft, I think this puts us in the mood to do a fantasy draft. Does it not?
Oh, yeah.
So the one thing, because I think, you know, might as well hit on it quickly. I think the one thing we do is we have six picks, each of us. We don't try to have a massive amount this time around. It's smaller.
You want to do? We can even just do it now.
I want to do homework. I want to see where the guys land.
Right. I think, too, like, the takeover special, which is next week, is such a big deal now because it's like you kind of see where guys are going. And if Finn loses, it's like, does Finn show up and get that last Money in the Bank spot?
Yeah. Suddenly, is he in the Money in the Bank? It changes how you pick, and I think we'll have to implement some rules. And I want to see if Mo's interested in this as well.
Like, I wonder, too, like, those big four and plus American Alpha are the ones I'm the most interested for because they're all ready.
Oh, yeah.
They're all ready. Like, would you say American Alpha's ready for the – would you say American Alpha's ready for the main roster?
6 months. They're 6 months away from being, I'll take a look at them. But I think they're close.
But I mean, if Paulo's ready, they're ready. If Dana Brooke's ready, they're ready.
No. Well, I think Dana Brooke is going to be Arn Anderson. As long as they build it like that.
The Revival's ready.
Yeah, Revival's ready in ring-wise. The character just isn't there. They're very
Ember's New Day could be good if they just got, like, if they had, like, Heyman behind them. It'd be perfect.
Oh, yeah. Do you start to see some fractions of groups starting to form?
Think so. I mean, I would assume I'm assuming that wherever AJ goes, the Good Brothers are going and Finn will be there.
Oh, God.
I think you're going to put the Bullet Club together no matter what.
And all the rumors about... oh, God, there's so much potential.
I can't see... I just can't see how the Shield gets together.
Yeah, this is one thing that's going to definitely be challenging.
Because, so, like, Brock goes number one. If not even, let's say Roman goes number one, and then Cena goes, and then Brock goes, then Seth goes, right? Those are the top four picks. Can anyone else be in that four slot? I mean, if Kevin Owens is running the bank, maybe Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And then that's how you get Seth to go. That's the only scenario. Or an AJ. Those are really the only other fourth overall picks I can think of, which I'm so excited to talk about draft picks for WWE.
It's crazy. Like, it is taking over our lives.
And I like it's much like we're getting ready at Fresh Take to do the NBA draft and the NHL draft. And, you know, you and I talked in the NHL yesterday about that kid from Finland, Lalin, and how great he was during the World Juniors. And, you know, you mentioned some stuff about Austin Matthews and whatnot. And it's going on in the NBA right now with Brendan Ingram and Ben Simmons. And you're like, oh, and maybe Bobby Hill falls to the Boston Celtics. Now it's like it's just fun to talk about, like, oh, man, maybe AJ is that fourth pick. Or maybe it's Kevin Owens. Or maybe it's Seth. Who is the fourth pick? Because that fourth pick now, if it goes for those top three.
Holy crap.
What? Breaking news?
It's not. There's nothing confirmed. It's just a tweet.
Okay.
But the NXT special is no longer called Revenge.
Okay.
It's called The End.
Huh?
Hunter sent out a tweet on June 8th, live on the WWE Network, NXT TakeOver, The End, ... Where do we go from here?
Damn you, Mo!
Is this the end of live specials for NXT?
Huh.
What's going...
Is it going to USA?
I can't...
Is it going to take the Thursday?
Holy crap.
That's the first thing you think about, right?
It could be taking that.
Yeah.
But the one thing that has always kept it there was it was such a big draw on the network.
I know.
Now with this draft lottery and the roster obviously getting gutted. But I mean, if you could tell an
Adam But Cole, the thing is, though, now, if it goes, if NXT goes to Thursdays, for example, we're completely making this shit up, folks. This is just speculating. But let's say, like Mo had suggested, that it's third brand, right? Yeah. And let's say it goes to Thursdays, which we're assuming by this end tweet, I don't see any of them leaving then. Because NXT is a brand then.
And it suddenly builds it up.
Which could be why Finn isn't gone yet.
Holy
crap. And maybe that's why they're waiting for Bobby Roode.
Holy crap. Damn you, Hunter. You just think there. Oh, we'll just talk about wrestling.
They're having someone big debut that show then. So Bobby Roode is going to be on that show. And we don't know Jay Lethal's contract, right?
No, he's still champion. So he's still
right. Champion. Right. Can you imagine if Jay Lethal walks on the show with the ROH championship?
Oh my god.
Do we know what Ethan Carter and McIntyre's contracts are?
No. I honestly don't know. But last thing I heard, Ethan Carter had an open contract challenging anyone and everyone. Anyone could sign their name on that contract.
Hmm. Because I wonder if like he could just be part of that show with all the promos were leading up to that even.
Oh, God. This is fantasy booking. Oh.
I'm glad this news broke during the podcast. Like, normally, for us, it's normally one of those kind of like, Joel will be like, Josh... I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, guess what? Or it'd be like, Joel, and you're like, no, God, no. I just put it up.
It's how we publish it. And we're like, oh, we're going to pimp out the podcast. It'll be good times. Mm-hmm. And then our world, I'm glad we didn't record this and go, yeah, that was a nice little podcast talking about Cody Rhodes, Extreme Rules. Yeah, no, yeah. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I want to get back to some minor things of the draft, of course. Let's just get some little tidbits, and then we'll finish off in the NXT thing, because I want to process it through my head for 2 seconds. Okay, so Adam Rose asked for his release. So he's gone. I don't really know much to really talk about this. I hope he gets the help he needs.
Yeah.
Sounds like his wife and him are still working together. They're still in a partnership and everything, so that's good. Especially with what their son, you know, I really hope that, you know, their family is happy, and I hope he finds a spot. I don't see him ever coming back to the company.
No.
So he's done. The Cody stuff, really weird. You know, because you and I had thought the Stardust was, you know, because we kept on hearing, like, I kept on like, why is he still Stardust? And you continually said, and everyone thought, well, it's because this is what Dusty wanted.
Yeah.
You continue to hear, like, Dusty had it, and he had that picture, and blah, blah, blah. And now it turns out he wanted to be Cody Rhodes again.
And you could see, like, he had the boots for, and he had all the gear ready, and he was ready to be the son of the American dream again.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so, I mean, Cody had a he had a good career. I don't know where he fits. It's going to be interesting. I'm sure he has a 90-day no compete clause.
Yeah.
I wonder how many more releases are going to come now too with the brand splits. Now with this news though, I don't know now. And if you guys like Fandango, by the way, how happy are that you just held on?
Yeah.
You just held on. What else are some news that we didn't get to before? Because this NXT news is huge.
I think quickly
Extreme Rules and Raw.
A thought on Extreme Rules and Raw.
I mean that Intercontinental match was just bonkers.
Yeah.
It was great.
Main event was good.
Main event was great. I have no use for the Asylum. Number one, it was way too long. 26 minutes, and you respect to Jericho for the tax, respect to him for selling it on Monday, but in 2016, I don't need to see that shit.
No. I definitely agree. I felt it was boring and slow, and like I like Ambrose and I like Jericho, but I was just like, I can't get into this.
Mm-hmm.
AJ did not just lose to one spear. He lost to an absolute physical, grueling match.
Oh, yeah. AJ killed it. Like, a lot of people were complaining because AJ's lost back-to-back matches. AJ's going to be a top five pick in this draft.
And he's going to win a championship, Josh.
Yeah, AJ, wherever AJ goes, he's going to be a top three guy. I'm going to book it right now. AJ will be a world champion by the end of the year in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
I book it. Book it, book it, book it. He's a world champion by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Now, and you know what? Props to Roman. Good match. He had some, I wouldn't call them innovative, but he had some good moves. I was like, yeah, no, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I thought it was good. The women's match was fine. I thought the bigger thing for the women was what happened on Raw. And Charlotte giving me the big middle finger for having her as my least valuable player last year.
Yeah.
One of the best promos I've seen by a woman in a long time. Helps when your dad can put the waterworks on like it's a second job.
Get rid of the crying Michael Jordan head.
Yeah.
Place it with Flair.
Yeah, thank you. I would appreciate that. Flair just killed it, and that's probably the last time we see Ric Flair.
I've heard some rumblings that Flair's not quite done yet.
Is he getting another girl?
Well, he's always going to get another girl.
Well, yeah. Woo!
But, I haven't heard anything, but I have heard this isn't the end of Flair on TV.
That's good.
One point, he will be back, but... And this isn't a punishment or anything.
No.
This is just the progression of the story.
Well, he had that drunk thing in the airport, but, you know, I think they kind of just like, yeah, it's just Nate being Nate.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Dana Brooke being the Arn Anderson. I think Dana Brooke does a lot of stuff that I really like. She makes me laugh sometimes. She's pretty funny, and she's got good charisma. She just needs to get a little bit better in the ring, and again, it's just another person this brand split's going to help out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I wonder what the plan would have been originally, though, because obviously this was not the original plan.
Yeah.
Because she was supposed to be with Emma.
Yeah, and definitely now creates it builds in a feud for Emma right away.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this helps, like. Finally, Paige can get a chance to go back and do her own thing, and Becky can get the chance. In a way, Joel, you know, the women's division is so deep. The more I think about it, like, these tag team divisions and the women's division are pretty deep. I wouldn't mind double titles, the more I think about it.
It does create opportunity.
Terribly against it. What else do we have? Anything else from Raw that really point out to you? I mean, the Charlotte promo was the biggest thing, and the Good Brothers leaving AJ... Which I'm interested to see where that goes. Again, it matters a lot with his NXT special now, right? Like, does that mean that Finn now? But now I don't know because is it going to go to Thursdays?
Curse Mo. I blame Mo. This is all Mo's fault.
Can you think of anything else that was this would mean?
My biggest thing is maybe this is the end of network specials for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But why would it be the end of network specials?
Because they do so well.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is going to be very interesting. Maybe it's the end of Finn and maybe the end of the reign of Finn or Joe.
But why would the whole show be called that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Also with Bayley, I don't see Bayley coming to either brand until the fall because she's going to get then. I know it's the end. I'm still going to just go by this. I'm assuming there still will be another special because there's going to be one for. There's already been confirmed one for TakeOver Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
So whatever this means, it's interesting. But I'm assuming Bayley would have the rematch in Brooklyn against Asuka.
Yeah. That would make the most sense.
Yeah. And now, I would assume Asuka will come to the main event, to the main roster now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about this Thursday thing. That's just a guess, because you would just think, oh, okay, well, Thursdays are open now. What do you think it means, Joel?
I honestly don't know. The biggest thing I look at with this is it's very cryptic, it's very interesting, and it's very kind of like, I don't know where they're going right now.
Could it be a free agent that's coming, and that's why?
Yeah, it could be.
Who's the biggest free agent available, though? Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode isn't worthy of doing that. I like Bobby, and I'm excited to see him with the company, and I think now with the brand split, he now does have a chance, him both, Eric and Eric, yet have a chance to be on the main roster now.
Yeah.
Same with Austin Aries, but I don't know, like, who's super big that we're not thinking about. Is Kurt time?
Oh, God. Kurt versus Samoa Joe in NXT.
Yeah. But again, I don't think that would be called the end. Like, can you think of anything that's apocalyptic for a free agent? So it's just called NXT The End. It's not called TakeOver anymore.
It's called TakeOver The End.
Hmm.
It is NXT TakeOver The End, .. And Hunter asks at the end of the tweet, where do we go from here? So, it kind of...
I wonder if maybe... Just spitballing here. I love when... It's been very rare that you get to have breaking news on a podcast. I wonder if maybe you would have Raw is Stephanie, Shane, SmackDown, and NXT is Hunter.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not bad, because then you can kind of have...
We wear down with the viewing through the weeks. We get 3 hours on Mondays, then we get 2 hours on Tuesdays, and then we get 1 hour on Thursdays. Wear us down slowly.
Yeah. This is Vince's plan, Josh. This is how he's going to get everyone to love Roman, because everyone's going to be so worn down and so tired. Everyone's just going to be like, yeah, no, yay. This is how Vince gets all the guys over he wants. He's just going to slowly wear us down until we're like, yeah, no, yay.
I don't know how you were, like, why would you get rid of it on the network, though? It's such a big draw.
Yeah, I wonder if this means it's just the end. It's a new beginning for NXT, where they're going to have new faces pop up now, maybe.
Maybe it's the end of those big guys. Maybe he says, like, maybe it ends, and he's like, this entire roster is part of the draft.
Yeah, maybe that's what they announce at the end of the show.
And this entire roster is part of the draft, and that we're starting clean. And it starts, and he strips Joe, and then Bobby Roode walks in, and he's the champion. Or something?
Kind of like how Hunter got the championship just handed to him.
Yeah, well, we've always said Bobby Roode kind of looks like Hunter, so.
There we go. Perfect. Done.
And then, like, yeah, you have Big Josh and all those guys kind of do their thing.
Yeah.
And, like, Tessa Blanchard and Zack Sabre Jr. And, like, there's no side of talent that Mandy,
yeah.
Daria. Like, there's girls, all the girls from NXT, Patrick, who's doing his weird Donald Trump gimmick. So all the NXT people already.
The Manny and the Spanish fellow that we saw that.
Yeah, like there's talent to do it. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's more realistic. It's like everyone in this is eligible for the draft. This is the last of everyone here for the draft. Which, I mean, that's a short time for Austin Aries then. That's my only main thing with that.
I think Austin gets stuck behind. I think it'll be certain guys will be draft eligible and other guys have to prove. And that's another big point for NXT is each time the draft comes along, that's a big talking point.
Yeah, I guess you can have, like, Dave. So if you're going to say draft eligible, then it'd probably be, like, what? Like, Knock, Finn, Joe, Bailey, Blake and Murphy, Bliss, Carmella, American Alpha, The Revival, Mojo?
No.
No Mojo?
I'm waiting for, because there was all that talk this week about Gronkowski's talking about doing wrestling once he's done.
But they're not going to wait that long.
No, that's true. But I could see them wanting to wait till they could at least, you know what? Have Mojo on like a Raw or SmackDown and then bring Gronkowski in.
Do you do the hype roles in the main roster, or do you think it's better to have Zach as a solo guy?
Zach is a solo guy, but if it gets him on TV and gets him doing stuff, hype roles isn't bad.
Can you think of anyone else that, if this is the scenario too, who would be draft eligible?
Yeah, I think that, because there's so much money tied up in these guys already, it's time to just...
You kind of make it like a college draft, right? Because like you look at the NBA right now, you can pull out of the draft and everything like that, and you kind of have that every year, right? Like, that's something I could love that they do with NXT, right? It's like, oh, this guy's eligible for the draft, and, but oh, Bailey, Asuka decided to jump out of the draft. Would Asuka or Nia Jax be in this?
I think Asuka will. I think Nia
Bliss, Jax. Bliss for sure. Yeah. She's ready. Bliss is ready.
My only concern is how many years can you have, like, a draft class from NXT where it's top? But I guess you could have it where it's either really, really deep draft or it's kind of like...
Like, next year, like I said, you'd have Big Josh and Bobby Roode and Eric Young and Mandy and Peyton Royce and probably Zack Sabre Jr., I'm assuming, would be there, and the Lucha Libre, maybe No Way Jose,
You can just have certain guys that come up, because, it's potential. There's the biggest thing with this is we're just spitballing right now.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think the best, most logical situations are, number one, it's either going to become a third brand and it's going on to Thursdays.
And Mo's going to jump up and down.
And I'm
going to
punch Mo in the face over the phone for being right. Or it's the fact that it's there's draft eligible people and that they're done with the company.
Yeah.
And they stripped Joe of the championship and they have a tournament at Brooklyn with all the new guys. And maybe that's where we get Big Josh starting, because it's been almost a year. You got to think he's got to get started soon here.
Yeah.
So, and maybe like that's where you get Big Josh and like all the NXT guys finally, like Big Josh, ZZ, Mata, Patrick. Yeah. I think Mandy's getting pretty close already. That Peyton Royce, she just has a song on iTunes. It just came out today.
Yeah.
I think that's where Tessa Blanchard gets picked up, maybe.
And we keep forgetting that eventually, I think, Ricochet lands here, so that's another...
Well, that's the thing with Tessa, right?
Yeah.
That's his... Is a fiancé or a girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
Okay. So, yeah, his girlfriend's there, and I think that would lead to Tessa Blanchard going there, right?
Yeah.
Think out of the women that you can think of, if this is the case, it's what, Carmella, Bliss, Bailey, Asuka?
Yeah.
No Nia Jax?
No, not yet.
No. Anyone else? Anyone else I'm missing from the women?
Nothing that comes to mind.
Eva?
Realize something. You could potentially just forego NXT for Tessa and have her join with Dana and Charlotte.
I really like that. She's good enough to do it, but I don't know. Don't know if they would do that. I love it, though, Joel. I love that idea. I really do. I really love it.
You just have to find just one more person, and you get the four horsewomen. And then you can have a few of Bailey, Becky, and Sasha built in right away.
Yeah. You can even technically put Paige into there.
Yeah. There you go. You got.
I really like that idea, putting Tessa there.
Every once in a while.
If you just say, like, it's Tessa Blanchard...
That's enough, you know? Really. Yeah. People just you might have to remind people who the name, but after that, you're golden.
Yeah, but like even like a guy like that Dawkins guy in NXT, I think he has some stuff in there. Would you put the Drifters draft eligible?
No. He's kind of an NXT guy, so I just leave him there, which is cool. It works.
Yeah.
I would even be ballsy enough to put the title on him.
Would you?
Yeah.
Like the World Heavyweight Championship.
No, the NXT.
Okay, I was like, what the fuck?
No, I'm not that crazy.
Yeah, I just want to look at this tweet myself now.
Here, you will. You can have it. No, behave. Oh, maybe not. Here. To fill the dead air, this is crazy that we're talking about. Like, this year has been insane, and the fact that we're talking about a brand split right now, it's crazy. Like, this has been a wacky wild year for pro wrestling, and part of me just thinks the best is yet to come, especially with this tournament. Because God only knows what the junior heavyweight tournament brings.
I know. That's the other thing, too. And that's, I think, a part of this, what this NXT thing's about as well, right? Maybe that's what NXT has turned into now, is what these tournaments are.
Yeah, where they grow talent that way.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I like the Super Junior. The Super Junior tournament's a little confusing. I'm trying to still wrap my head around how the point system and all that works. But for the most part, you know, having these tournaments isn't a bad idea at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the tweet?
Yeah, I just saw it now. And I think the women division, even, that's a way if they maybe make Tessa win that.
Yeah.
And then build her up that way. Because I just think she's the best woman free agent that we know right now.
Yeah.
Question now, they're scouring the earth. There's some free agents out there. There's one in particular. Do they give her another chance? And that's Kia Stevens. Awesome con.
I think history has shown us anything, that's not a tree you want to climb up again. So mm-hmm. I would leave it alone.
I would agree. She doesn't deserve it.
So from one of the wrestling guys I read about, the arrival of Big Cass has restored some of Vince McMahon's faith in Triple H and NXT's ability to develop guys that can cut it in big time. The Ascension, Tyler Breeze, Bo Dallas, and Adam Rose were all considered flops and shook Vince's confidence in the system. He's still on the fence on the vaudevillains, and KO still... KO continues to grow on him, and much like Daniel Bryan, he does not appear to see the appeal of Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I figured. But that's why now he can go somewhere else, right?
Yeah. So Vince is kind of threatening to change his mind on NXT, so that adds another little thing for...
I think Vince is very stubborn at times, too, because the things don't go his way, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, well, shit, goddamn, like, Hunter really got these great guys. And, I mean, some of those guys he listed, like, we like Tyler Breeze, but we've said for a while that, yeah, this is maybe not going to work. But I think maybe with the brand split, it does help him now.
Yeah.
I think it's Sam. A guy like Sammy, it's going to be huge for him.
Yeah. Vince is also very high on Enzo.
Is he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There was rumors floating around about them talking with old Enzo Amore about doing some music.
Oh, really? Because he can rap, apparently.
Yeah, and you see him with musicians all the time, so I'm like...
Oh, yeah, he was on DJ Khaled's Snapchat the other day.
I mean, the guy's doing well for himself. For a guy that had was not an indie darling, he's done well for himself.
Well, like, even, like, him and Big Cass, like, it's kind of almost Dudley-ish... But the way they had training and everything.
Wow.
Like neither one of them had, like, proper, like, real training or anything.
Holy crap, you're right.
Yeah. I thought something else broke. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, I do get a chuckle out. Big Cass has restored Vince's faith in NXT.
Who would have thought that would be the guy?
And he still doesn't get the... You know what? I'm not shocked he doesn't get the appeal of Sammy.
We said that. Yeah. He's Brian. We've said he's Brian for the longest time.
And he's just going to sit there and scratch his head at people like this ginger?
Yeah.
Has there ever been a ginger world heavyweight champion?
Brian's kind of like a strawberry blonde. Brian's the closest to it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there has. Sheamus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, how quickly we forget about Sheamus sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But this means Sammy could have a world title reign, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
God.
It means it's the best thing I think out of all of this is for everyone like you said that doesn't like having Roman stuffed down their throat. Guess what? You don't have to have him stuffed down your throat. He doesn't have to be your world champion. He has to be a world champion of one brand.
And you can choose which one you want. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing of who does better ratings.
So, exactly. Like if KO is champion of one brand, I think maybe that's the thing I like about the one Money in the Bank is you never know which show that guy's going to cash in on. Because, like, let's say KO is the Money in the Bank champion. Let's say he's a SmackDown guy. And he shows up on a Raw pay-per-view and cashes it on Roman. That can, like, change it up. And then all of a sudden, he and Sammy are on the same show again, let's say.
Oh, my. And they could feud for the title?
Yeah. Probably not with what you're saying about what Vince and Sammy, but, you know.
Stranger things have happened in life.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Yeah. I think we've hit a good. I think we hit a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on about this all night.
Oh God, I think there's definitely a positive to all this.
My last thing is, do you agree with me that I think the best day to do the draft, like if you're gonna pick a date, if it is gonna be a Raw, which I think it will be, the best time to do it is the Raw beforehand.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand doing it on the a Raw like 2 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah. Because
you want that to be the first night to be like, okay, this is what SmackDown is now. Unless you just say like this starts this week, and then like that like you have like this is the last SmackDown where both people can go on the show. So like this is the last week that Roman and Cena can both be on this show.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they're going to do. That seems to be, because then you can basically say it's the season finale and now they're starting fresh.
Exactly. That's my best thought about it.
And then you hype the hell that, and you can have like little matches for people to qualify for the Battle Royale for the SmackDown or the Raw Championship.
You almost wish they would have done the draft the night of the first Monday Night Football game for their sake.
Oh, God. Could you imagine?
Because that would have been the smart decision. It's weird. Isn't that weird to you, the timing of this, the middle of summer?
I mean, it kind of makes sense because they like
summer. They are getting on it just before the Olympics. That's a smart point by them. Like they're getting on it just before the Olympics start. So yeah. That's very smart.
Because then they avoid a beating from the Olympics.
They're still going to get one, but it helps, right? Because people are like, oh, there's a new product and everything like that. They're still in the middle of Euro Cup, which is going to affect them.
Yeah.
It's a shitty summer for them against sports.
Oh, yeah. They're going to take a beating. I'm still going to watch, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, you have no interest in Euro Cup compared to me, but soccer's the most popular game in the world, so it's going to do it.
Oh, yeah. It's
gonna, a dent.
It's going to hurt WWE.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, for a lot of these Euro Cup games, from what I've seen, a lot of them are, like, midday, so they shouldn't fare too poorly against them.
Yeah, because of the time difference, so.
Yeah, also, one last side of breaking, not, like, major news. So what culture is having their own wrestling federation?
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm a little interested to see how that goes. I like what they're doing. I like Adam Lampard.
Yeah.
And I've liked what they've kind of done with BX versus the Pacitti Club. It's been really interesting. Did you see what happened this week with them?
Yeah.
They had the return of Adam Pacitti come back, and he cashed in the Money in the Bank and beat Adam Lampard. Did you happen to see his promo he did?
Yeah.
Where he was he's bandaged up and everything like that?
Yeah, and he had the muscled guy.
Holy crap, is that one of the not best promos you've seen this year? I felt so passionate. I'm like, I want to see these two fight.
Yeah, it's crazy. My only question from all this, and this is the first thing that kind of popped into my head when everything kind of started to, when I fully kind of got what was, because originally I thought it was a joke for a while, and then no.
Yeah.
So how long before we had the One Fall Wrestling Federation?
I don't know. You got the belt though, dude.
Yeah. It's
when is, what do you got? You have your own little stable as well.
Oh God. I don't need a stable. I'll be fine on my own.
Mm-hmm. You gotta watch your back.
Yeah, well.
The Money in the Bank is at the line of Money in the Bank this year.
Oh, God.
No titles on the line. It's the Money in the Bank is on the line this year for one fall.
So I could technically have the Money in the Bank and, well, yeah, because the championship could be lost at any point. Oh, God. We've gone down a rabbit hole.
Thank the championship's on the line at TakeOver, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is.
The one fall championship, Joel didn't have to defend it at the last two pay-per-views.
So you
Had to defend it at Extreme Rules, and you didn't have to, what was the other one we just had? Payback. You didn't have to defend it at either one.
Well, the way I look at it is I'm closer to the CM Punk reign, so that's what I'm
doing. Yeah, yeah. So, but TakeOver, you have to defend it, and then at Money in the Bank, it's the Money in the Bank's on the line.
Oh, God, if Paul wins it.
I know.
Ugh.
Maybe we'll start cutting promos on the One Fall YouTube page. It'll open soon.
Oh, God, we're just, this is what culture has done. I applaud them. They've done a fantastic job with their page, their YouTube channel, and the guys that they have really grown it. I'm really excited to see what happens with this. And being big wrestling fans, you gotta think they're gonna be smart about it. So
I really like Adam Blampard's, like, how I would have booked it.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see if this is truly their own wrestling federation, if this is a real thing, which it seems like it is. I'm interested to see him write actual shows, because if if this dissolves into something that's a big thing, like Rev Pro is probably the number one show in England right now.
Yeah.
But if this works into something that's a big deal in England, which I hope, I root for them that it is, I would love to see like his booking skills like on an actual show and like see how things get booked.
Yeah. And the challenges, because there's one thing of talking about stuff, mm-hmm. but actually having to do it and make decisions,
mm-hmm.
it's not easy. So
it's funny for them, because they kind of just started like a pop culture kind of top 10 video site, but they were such passionate wrestling fans that it broke down to this. So cheers on them.
Yeah.
I know they'll probably never listen to this, but love to do something with them in the future. I love everything that they've done. It's kind of everything we wanted to do, but they made it. So and they got a full studio and writing staff and everything. So, but cheers to them.
They are definitely something that you can look at and just kind of go, like, I guarantee you they have a big podcast that would be worth checking out on the Brand Split. They're one of the ones mm-hmm. that broke it.
Mm-hmm. All right, should we wrap up there?
Yeah.
Because if not, we're gonna go on all night.
It's totally possible.
So if anything else breaks on this, we'll let you know. The one thing we were kind of waiting to see what the titles are, but it seems Meltzer's confirmed that there will be two titles. The date seems to be July 11th, the day that Brock Lesnar returns. I think we're all kind of just waiting for July to get here now.
Yeah.
June is going to be a very interesting month. But we get Cena coming back. We're waiting for Bray and Randy. And now TakeOver is going to be interesting to see what happens with this end and what happens with Finn and what happens with Joe. Where do they go? What happens with Nakamura? What happens with all these people?
It's going to be a ring-ding-dong dandy.
Couldn't have said it better. Until next time, cheers.
It's a Brand Split. This is what the podcast has been building towards.
Enjoy the day, people.
So let's get to it. I need to know. Ladies and gentlemen and Jericho-holics of all ages, would you please welcome my guest tonight, the very first pick of the draft lottery. Come on down!
Who is it? Who is it?
Is it a he or she?
Come on out!
Well, whoever it is, they're late. Is there really somebody?
Electrified!